Welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Last night, some local media reported that Governor Susana Martinez will call lawmakers back to Santa Fe to deal with a budget deficit on Friday. And there will be other business on the call for lawmakers to consider, including a proposal to bring back the death penalty in some cases. The New Mexico state budget does not look good right now. Falling oil and gas prices in recent years have had a significant impact on how much money is available to pay for key programs like education, the courts, and other state business. In the last fiscal year, which ended in June, the state was over $200 million short, and the current projected budget deficit for this year is already nearly $431 million. The state constitution requires that lawmakers balance the budget each year. So lawmakers will convene in the roundhouse tomorrow. Right now, we want to hear from you. What programs and services are most important to you and your family? What would you cut and what would you protect if you were representing your community or your neighborhood in Santa Fe? We have a different number for you to call in today to join our conversation. It's 277-9980. That's 277-9980. I'm joined in studio today by Richard Anklam, Executive Director of the New Mexico Tax Research Institute. Thanks for being here.
I'm happy to be here.
And Andy Lyman, he covers statewide news and politics for nmpoliticalreport.com. Welcome, Andy.
Good morning. Thank you.
We also have journalist Lorene Mills on the line. Lorene is host of Report from Santa Fe, which airs on public TV stations around the state. The program is nearly 50 years old. Good morning, Lorene.
Good morning. And may I compliment you on your timing to have scheduled this program the morning after the call for the special session went out.
Well, we are ready today. We're gonna chat about what this all means. Andy, let's start with you. Folks who don't closely follow politics in Santa Fe may not know there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes discussions in recent weeks. What do we know right now?
We know from certain media reports from last night that they plan to call a special session. I think it's notable that there, as far as I know, there's no proclamation, so they haven't officially been called. I think the notice has been put out. But yes, for a number of months, it's gone back and forth between lawmakers and the governor trying to come to some sort of agreement on when they can come to the table and talk about the budget.
We had the same thing last year where there was a lot of discussion. Some folks didn't like that. It happened behind closed doors, behind the scenes, and there was an agreement before they met at the roundhouse.
Yeah, I think that raises some concerns for some people because they don't get to have public comment while they're talking about it. On the other hand, I think the argument is that if they can have those discussions and come to an agreement, the special session can move fairly quickly. They come into a room and they may talk a little bit about it, but ultimately everyone knows what's on the table, how they're going to vote. And in a matter of hours or within a day, they can walk away with an agreement.
Well, because it costs money to bring lawmakers back to Santa Fe for a special session.
I think it's $50,000 a day is what they quoted.
Richard, give us some context here. I think a lot of folks might be wondering, how did we get here with this massive budget deficit for last year and this year? And this is an ongoing issue in the state right now.
Yeah, it's actually quite simple. We ran out of money. And honestly, I'm not trying to be too cute, but, you know, we were riding high mostly on oil and gas revenues for quite a few years. And the temptation over time is to bake that into your recurring budget, even though we always know that commodities like that are very cyclical and you have to be very careful. But yet it's very tempting when you have programs and things that you want to fund and political priorities. So over time, you just kind of trend in that direction. At the same time, I think we'd been betting the come that you know, these $100 oil prices were going to last forever, and they didn't. And we didn't quite see it coming. And that has a ripple effect when you see a drop in price when you're so heavily weighted to one industry like we are. It has a ripple effect. There's direct effects in terms of the direct taxes, the production taxes that's paid when oil and gas and other natural resources are severed. But then there's all the indirect effects. You know, I think Lee County gross receipts tax revenue is down 30%. And some of that is, you know, there's no truck drivers buying new cars and going to the casino out there or going to the McDonald's. So you see a reduction, just kind of a shrinkage all the way around. And you also see it in other tax programs, corporate income tax, personal income tax, if you work for one of these companies and you lost hours. So it's insidious. It kind of pushes in all directions. It's hardest on the producing counties and the local jurisdictions within those counties. I think you saw what happened to Artesia recently. They were going to have to cut the salaries of all of their emergency workers by 10%. I think they avoided that. But it's a serious problem. Farmington's in a lot of trouble, the San Juan Basin.
I was just in Farmington yesterday. Lots of folks talking about that, about folks leaving because they've lost work, leaving the state, in fact.
Yes.
To look for work in other places.
And low natural gas prices, they're a lot worse off, actually, in the Northwest than we are in the Southeast. And for the first time, it took a while, but now we're actually seeing the production fall. You know, the prices fell and production stayed constant for a while. But what happens is new drilling and exploration, doesn't stay in process, and marginal wells tend to close. So now we're seeing the production fall, and that's a different kind of a problem. So it's going to be a slow slog out of this.
If you're listening today and you are impacted by this impact on the state budget is actually personal for you, we do want to hear from you. 277-9980. That's 277-9980. We have an email comment from Richard. He says, a common sense solution for budget woes would be to tax gasoline when it's cheap, a so-called indexed fuel tax. He says it's relatively painless for drivers and responds to changes in oil prices. Richard, what do you think about that proposal? It's come up before. It's been something lawmakers have talked about.
At the risk of irritating somebody, I think that's a good idea. Senator Smith has proposed it for a while. Gasoline taxes are volume-based, so over time, as we drive more fuel-efficient vehicles and our population remains flat, the money that we raise for our roads to maintain the roads is actually falling or staying flat at best, and the cost of maintaining those roads is going up. So the fiscally responsible thing to do is find a way to pay for the roads. Indexing the gasoline tax makes a lot of sense. One possible way of getting out of this budget crisis would be to make that change now, send that additional money to the general fund for a year or two to get us through this crisis, and then flip it over to the roads. But otherwise, they're not going to focus on the roads yet because they're focused on the general fund. And currently, gasoline taxes fund the road fund, which is in crisis, just not nearly the crisis that we see in the general fund.
But Andy, we've been hearing that the governor doesn't want taxes on the table. Do you know if that includes something like an indexed gas tax?
She has said before that she's not in favor of raising taxes. I would assume that that's the case. She kind of just repeats herself and reiterates the point that she's not in favor of raising taxes. At this point, I don't know what's on the table.
All right. What do you think? Is now the time for lawmakers to consider changes in tax policy, new taxes, adding in things to deal with this budget deficit? The number to call to join us and tell us what you think, 277-9980. That's 277-9980. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. And we're talking about priorities for the special legislative session. I'd like to go now to Javier in Albuquerque. What do you think should be on the table during the session?
Hey, Sarah. Thanks so much for taking our calls. So one thing that's never on the table, and I got a quick mention just a second ago, but, we give out so much money a year to places like Walmart and the Intel Corporation. It's over $1 billion a year in the tax expenditure budget. And you've got the governor now calling for a 5% decrease in all these public budgets. I mean, budgets that are really critical to the social safety net, like CYFD, and, she's always cutting SNAP or preventing people from accessing SNAP benefits. These are things that are barely holding it together in our state, given our poverty and all the suffering going on. But it's fascinating to me that we're never talking about, where's the 5% cut for corporations who've got these massive tax breaks that are also impacting our state budget. So that's something I'd love to hear folks reflect on.
Thanks for your call, Javier. What do you think, folks listening in today? Would you like to see more corporate taxes? How would you like to see lawmakers address the budget deficit? What do we need to do to plan for the future, for a stable financial future for New Mexico? The number to call, 277-9980. That's 277-9980. Loreen Mills, I'd like to bring you in here. You've heard what's going on right now. What are you hearing from folks in Santa Fe? You've been going around talking with lawmakers and other officials. What are they telling you?
Quote from Lucky Varela. Representative Varela was head of House Appropriations and Finance in the House for years and years. And on my show, he was talking about tax increases, and he said, if you're going to keep milking the cow, you're going to have to feed it. And in light of the crash in the oil and gas revenues, you cannot hold to an ideological stance of no new taxes. There's only a few ways to raise revenue. And I just think whether it be the gas tax, whether there's just a lot of ways that we're going to have to augment our revenue somehow. The cynicism of throwing in a huge major issue like the death penalty, which has, you know, it took 10 years to settle that discussion, to have the death penalty and the three strikes law, all those distractions when we are actually breaking the law by operating at a deficit. One of the jewels in New Mexico's crown is our Constitution, and we cannot do deficit spending. Well, last fiscal year, $200 million in deficit spending. The upcoming year, it could be $400, could be $500 million. That's the main problem that has to be solved. And I think that we just have to have everything in play, all options, and one of those options is what's called revenue enhancements or tax increases.
We'll get to that more in just a moment, and definitely to some of those bigger picture things. We've got a couple folks who do want to talk about the death penalty. I'd like to first take a call from Sarah in Albuquerque. Sarah, your thoughts on adding the death penalty in the special session right now?
Yes, you know what? I'm in favor of the death penalty. We need to bring it back for our rape and murder of our children. You know, in fact, the last death penalty that we had for 20 years ago was that he murdered and raped a 9-year-old girl by lethal injection. That was the last one that we did. And we see the 10-year-old girl rape and murder, and they cut both of her arms and try to cut off her legs. I mean, this is just so gruesome. The website is nmlegis.gov, nmlegis.gov. That's the website that has all of our 70 reps, 50 senators that will be making our state laws. They have their emails, phone numbers, and mailing address, P.O. boxes. So, you know what, that's the website, nmlegis.gov. You know, we have a lot of things that we want to say to them right now. So, but that's my opinion. You know, what is this talk about this economic growth when our state is catering to rapists, child molesters, and murderers? Who wants to come here?
Sarah, thank you so much for your call today and sharing your thoughts on that. We do have the phone lines open if you want to comment on that, 277-9980. This is the KUNM Collins Show. Our focus today is a special legislative session. We're talking about the budget, also the proposal to bring the death penalty back in some cases, as Sarah mentioned. We have Representative Monica Youngblood on the line. Youngblood is expected to introduce legislation to bring back the death penalty in New Mexico and for cases where people are accused of murdering a child or a police officer. Representative Youngblood, thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
Why is this legislation important to you this year?
Well, Victoria Martins was murdered and brutally tortured and raped in my district, not too far from where I live. And, I think that the public, our community is on the forefront demanding that we address this issue.
And how do you think public safety fits in the context of the economy? Our caller just mentioned no one would want to come to New Mexico if they felt like it was an unsafe place.
Well, I think that plays a role in it. But I also think that when we talk about budget and money and money at times like these or in times like these, I think that we need to reflect on what we're saying and what is saving the life of a child worth, or what is justice for a child worth. And I think that when you talk to anyone in the general public, at church, at the grocery store, or around the water cooler, I think that the majority of people in New Mexico are tired of seeing our children abused and murdered in these horrific ways. And you can't put a dollar amount to that because the families and the communities that these things happen in are suffering. And when it comes to our safety net, our police officers, you know, if we can't protect our police officers, who's going to protect us? And I think that those are the things that I'm hearing in my community and from across the state over and over again. And I think it's important that people, that we address issues that people are most concerned with in the state of New Mexico, and this is one of them.
Officials in the courts have been raising concerns for a few months about funding, needing more funding to process cases in New Mexico. There was an announcement this week they're going to reduce mileage reimbursement. Is there adequate funding right now for the courts to process cases and be addressing these cases that are brought before them?
Again, it's going to have to be a priority of the state, and it's going to have to And again, we need to ask ourselves, what is the cost of justice for a child who's brutally raped and murdered, or a police officer or corrections officer who's ambushed and murdered?
Do you think that, what are your thoughts on and getting this legislation through in the special session?
You know, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure the stories of these children and the families who lose loved ones to senseless crime are heard, and that their voices are heard, in hopes that we can, you know, raise awareness and get some consensus around the issues. I think that people want to know that their legislators either support or, you know, I'd like for it to go to a full vote, period. I'd like for people to know how their legislators vote on these issues.
Representative Youngblood, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. We're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back to take your calls. The number to join us, 277-9980. You can also send your thoughts to us on Twitter. We're at KUNM News, or email callinshow@kunm.org.
Support comes from The Lenzic, presenting Mexican violinists the Villalobos Brothers on October 9th at the Lenzic Performing Arts Center in Santa Fe. Tickets are available at 505-988-1234 or tickets@santafe.org. Support comes from UNM Truman Health Services, presenting the LGBTQ Plus Healthy Living Fair, Saturday, October 8th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the Medical Arts Plaza in Albuquerque. This event is open to the public.
Support comes from Corley's Albuquerque Lincoln Volvo, providing new and used car sales as well as repair and maintenance for Volvo, Ford, and Lincoln, with same-day service often available. Located off I-25 on Pan American Freeway in Albuquerque. Info at CorleyNewMexico.com.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're focusing on the special legislative session expected to happen tomorrow in Santa Fe. The lawmakers need to deal with a budget deficit. Governor Martinez is also putting the death penalty and some other public safety issues on the call for lawmakers to consider. We have some calls of folks who want to talk about the death penalty proposal. Let's go first to Charlie in Albuquerque. Charlie, your thoughts.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call, Sarah. I hear a lot of call for revenge, and I don't think revenge is the same as justice. I think we all are horrified by what's happened, but the death penalty itself has been shown across the country not to be able to be applied fairly. It disproportionately affects populations of color. It's expensive. It's more expensive than keeping someone in prison for the rest of their life. It's not a deterrent to crime. If it were a deterrent, these people would be calling for these executions to be broadcast on television or into classrooms. And it made that whole business in Oklahoma last year where they tried to execute a guy over and over, and it was just a terrible thing to see. And it puts us in the same league as North Korea. And I think we need to come further than that. And so that's my comment. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in today, Charlie. Let's go now to Joe in Albuquerque. Joe, your thoughts on the death penalty proposal.
Well, hi, Sarah. Thank you for taking my call. Interesting thing, I am a registered Democrat, but as far as the death penalty, I think like Republicans. I think that justice for murder and rape and other crimes within a certain restrictive media, that the death penalty should be restored.
Joe, thanks for your call. Let's go now to Francis in Albuquerque. Francis, you also want to comment on the death penalty proposal. Francis, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Your thoughts on the death penalty.
Okay, one sentence for those to whom it may not occur, but I believe that one cannot be against abortion and for the death penalty. That's all I've got to say.
All right. Thanks for your call today. Big issue on the table, though, is the budget. We also have some folks who want to comment on things that they think could be done to address the budget. If you have ideas of how you'd like to see lawmakers addressing the budget deficit, addressing the financial future of our state, you can join our conversation today by calling 277-9980. That's 277-9980. Let's go to Aubrey in Albuquerque. Aubrey, what would you like to see lawmakers consider? Aubrey, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. What would you like to see lawmakers consider when it comes to the budget?
Well, when it comes to the budget is a very small percent, maybe 4% of the amount of money that they actually have to play with. And it's a fake number. To say that the only way that they can bring in money is by adding new taxes is ridiculous, because they can invest in the stock market and other and all kinds of other ways they do. And all this information can be found out by looking up the comprehensive annual financial report, which nobody ever wants to talk about, which shows the real numbers that they play with. And if you were to look into it, you would find that they have lots of money. They never run out of money. And they only tell us, you know, they say budget, and the people think that that's 100% of the money, but it's not so. So I just wanted to tell everybody, look into the comprehensive annual financial report for your state and see what's really going on. Thanks a lot.
We have Richard Enklem, Executive Director of the New Mexico Tax Research Institute, with us. Richard, budgets are complicated. It's hard for the average person to figure out exactly what's going on. Where can folks go to get information about how the budget's put together and what we, the numbers?
Actually, the woman that called in earlier and mentioned the she was talking about the death penalty, but nmlegis.gov, www.nmlegis.gov, that's the legislature's website, and they've got the fiscal forecasts, a lot of financial information, stuff that's presented in interim committees, tax bills, proposals, fiscal impact reports on those proposals are all on their website. Tax and Rev, DFA have some similar information, so you can find a lot of information. The gentleman caller mentioned the CAFR. That's a consolidated financial statement statewide. We just started doing those. By the way, it was disclaimed, so the auditor expresses no confidence that our current CAFR is actually correct, but they're working on it, so that's a good thing. We just started doing CAFRs. But the gentleman was right in the sense about the budget and the fact that we spend more. But I would caveat that a little bit. The forecast itself, when we say we're short $431 million in FY17, that is an estimate, because we don't know exactly. That's this year's money, and it's just like a business where we're trying to estimate how much sales we're going to have by year end, and we can't get that number exact, and sometimes we get it fairly far off. I'm hoping our forecasters right now are guessing, you know, that the deficit is bigger than it is, but you know, you can't bank on that. The general fund, our $6 billion general fund, is what we call own source revenue. That's what the state of New Mexico's tax programs take in to pay for general government, higher ed, public ed, law enforcement, all that kind of stuff. We spend about $14 billion, I think, total, give or take, because of federal money that comes in and matches. But I would quibble with a few things that the gentleman said. To the extent that we're short $200 million from last year, and $400 million from this year, that's real money that we have to make up. And if we don't have it, we can't fully fund Medicaid, for instance, in which case we don't get the $3 match for our dollar from the federal government. So it's important that we, you know, fulfill our obligations. Now, he's right. You don't have to do it by raising taxes. You can also do it by cutting expenditures. But our government's pretty lean right now. You know, our agencies are having problems. CUIFD, Health and Human Services, is about to have a special master. So it's not like we have robust agencies with real deep pockets and lots of people that we can just get rid of. So that's a challenge, whether it's taxes or expenses.
Absolutely. Christine from Taos, you want to make a comment about oil and gas, which we talked about earlier this hour. Christine, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. What's your comment about the oil and gas in New Mexico and how that affects our state budget?
Well, of course, I think that New Mexico needs to look beyond oil and gas. And if we look to the north at the state of Colorado, who has legalized recreational marijuana and pretty much gotten their educational system out of deficit, their roads, all of their infrastructure, and it hasn't fallen apart. People aren't going crazy up there. People in Denver are not murdering their children for fun because they're doing meth. You know, they're kind of mellow and happy up there. And I think that the state of New Mexico is missing out on a huge revenue source that could also help, because it's not a high-tech industry. It's, you know, New Mexico is an agricultural state. It's an agricultural product. People in this state know how to do that. You know, again, I think we're hurting ourselves by putting our heads in the sand and pretending that this is not a revenue stream.
Recreational marijuana does come up many times when we're talking about the budget. Lots of folks saying they want to at least have that discussion here in New Mexico. Thanks for your call today, Christine. Let's go to Aaliyah in Albuquerque. Aaliyah, your comment on the state budget.
Yeah, I wanted to respond a little bit to my representative, Monica Youngblood, also, who continues to be wrongheaded and just doesn't see obvious solutions. What happens to the children of New Mexico when you repeatedly cut CYFD year after year, and you repeatedly cut education year after year, and you repeatedly cut welfare programs that help struggling families? You end up with situations where you want to impose the death penalty. I think you can draw a very straight line from cutting the poorest state's budget year after year to having situations like happened in our district a few months ago.
Aaliyah, thanks for your call today. Let's go now to Travis in Albuquerque. Travis, you also have a comment about how the death penalty connects to the state budget. Travis?
Yes.
Your comment.
Yes, hi. I think the addition of adding the death penalty argument to the special session exposes a certain hypocrisy in the governor, because in and of itself, it's not a cut-and-dry issue that'll be settled in a short period of time. And if the focus really of the special session is to save New Mexico money and put this budget aligned, I think adding this to a special session to hurry something along that could be dealt with the next session exposes the fact that perhaps the priorities of the governor are at issue, and that we're not going to be saving money by adding additional discussion to this special session. Thank you.
Travis, thanks for your call today. Andy, remind folks, how's the special session? You know, the governor calls it, the governor decides what's the priority. Just give us an overview of how that process works.
Generally, the governor and leadership will sort of meet, we discussed earlier, sometimes behind closed doors or before the session starts, and they come to an agreement on whatever issue that the governor wants to talk about. In this case, I don't know what the discussions have been, but as far as I know, there is not an agreement on budget or the tough on crime things that she's bringing to the table. So generally, there is an agreement. Maybe it's like any sort of compromise that maybe you don't get everything that you want, but you get something that you want. And so people generally say, yeah, we'll go ahead and vote for it.
Lorraine Mills, host of Report on Santa Fe, is with us by phone now. Lorraine, how does what's going on right now in Santa Fe compare to what you've seen in past sessions, especially past special sessions? What are you hearing from folks?
Well, what I'm hearing from folks is that it's very sudden to do this. This is Balloon Fiesta weekend, the Friday before that the special will be called, and they're not hotel rooms in northern New Mexico. You know, anything outside of Albuquerque, Santa Fe, they're all full. And also, it's a little disrespectful to the lawmakers and to the staff at the Capitol to suddenly drop everything. People have family reunions, weddings, you know, trips, all these things that they have to just cancel and come here to do the state's business. Now, they're dedicated public servants. So there is a lot of grumbling up here and the uncertainty. Andy had made a very interesting point that she didn't do a proclamation. It was just a notice. And by law, once a proclamation for a special session is issued, there can be no fundraising from that time on. So I see a very lot of fancy footwork here. Let me just say one thing about the death penalty issue. People are very upset, and righteously so, but they have to understand that even if the death penalty is reinstated, the law will not affect the people who perpetrated these crimes, neither the cop killers or the torturers of Victoria. And it costs millions for each death penalty case. We don't have those millions. And many people say it's better to put the money in CYFD and start working preventively and behavioral health. It's been shown that the cost of one death penalty case in New Mexico could fund 50 cops for a year. They'd have better equipment, better communications. I mean, it really doesn't compute. And the hard thing is that this is a really emotional, important issue. It took 10 years to abolish the death penalty in New Mexico in one day to think that we're going to handle that when we have these pressing, where it's illegal for us to operate our state government in deficit like this. I know that the death penalty is very emotional, but we have to take care of business.
There is just one other thing.
There is one other option to revenue enhancement, and that is something our state auditor, Tim Keller, has been working on. He just found $193 million in insurance premium underpayments. And that would almost, if we can get all that money from the insurance companies, that would take care of last year's deficit, more or less.
That is an interesting thing that we've seen come up in recent weeks. We have some folks on the line who have ideas about how they'd like to see the state either save money or raise some money. Let's go first to Mike in Albuquerque. Mike, what's your take?
Hello, this is Mike. The power line that will be built through our state that will tie the wind farms into California, and it'll also tie in Colorado through the High Plains Express. It's a very large power line. There's been a lot of delays. It should have been built by now, and if it be in a different atmosphere, there'll be dozens of wind farms built in the eastern part of the state. There is quite a development move going on, even though things aren't built. They're in planning stages. If we had the revenues from those wind farms and those power lines being built, we wouldn't be having a problem today. They should expedite the building of these things, and that's what I have to say. It's kind of hard to convince somebody like Governor Martinez, who is mainly a law enforcement person and not a developer, and I would just like to see these things expedited so that we could enjoy the fruits of our labor.
Interesting point, Mike. Let's go now to Mark in Santa Fe. Mark, what would you like to see lawmakers do to address the budget?
Well, there's three things. First of all, I agree with the previous caller that dollars spent on prosecution instead of prevention in the area of family are the way to go. And so I would like to see us spend a lot less on prosecution of crimes and a lot more on prevention of them. And I can guarantee you the death penalty doesn't do a thing to stop a drug lord or a crazed meth addict or, for that matter, a terrorist. They could care less about your death penalty. So that's one thing. We definitely should raise the gas tax. It should have been done long ago, and that should be permanent. The allocations can be just as the other caller said. The third thing I wanted to address is right now the Interstate Stream Commission is burning up $120 million of federal money that was given to the state of New Mexico for the Gila River water settlement. This was At least in the governor's mind, this is going to allow us to take 10,000 acre feet out of the Gila River that doesn't exist and move it over to Deming so they can use it for agriculture. There are vastly better ways of spending that money that are well identified to conserve water in southwest New Mexico, and even better, to save evaporation off of Elephant Butte and then move that water out of Rio Grande to Deming. So there's a lot of good things that can be done there, and there's an awful lot of money being burned by the present administration that instead be going productive use.
Mark, thanks for your call today. We welcome your call if you're listening in today. How would you address the state budget deficit? Do you think taxes should be on the table or shouldn't be on the table? What would you like lawmakers to prioritize in the special legislative session, which we expect to happen tomorrow? Give us a call, 277-9980. It's a new number this week, just for this week, 277-9980. You can also email your comments to callinshow@kunm.org. Andy Lyman from NN Political Report. You know, lawmakers are going to address some of the immediate issues like the budget deficit from last year in the special session, but they might not fully address the current budget deficit. So we're already looking ahead to the 60-day session in January. What's on your mind as you observe this and report on it?
I think that just tells me that it's going to be a huge discussion in the 60-day session as well. I think they might discuss it here, but obviously first things first as far as the budget goes. But it's the same as the past few sessions. Is every session is a discussion of we have this kind of volatile dependence on oil, gas and oil. What is there? You know, it just goes up and down so much. Is there something else we can rely on? Another caller mentioned recreational marijuana. That might be a discussion, but I think it's also worth noting that that's not going to be an immediate thing either. You know, that's just like anything else in the session, deserves well thought out conversation, debate. And then even if that happens, I don't know how long it's going to take to see that money.
One more thing I want to leave on. NN Political Report did commission a poll on public opinion on the death penalty. What did you find?
We found 59%, so pretty close to 60% of New Mexicans that we polled were in favor of the death penalty. More Republicans were in favor of it than Democrats, but there were a good number of Democrats that were also in favor of it. I think Lorene noted that it took 10 years to repeal it. I think that's worth noting. It took us a long time to get rid of it. Given the recent events, I don't know if that's fresh on people's minds, or it would be interesting to do another poll at another time of the year as well.
A lot going on right now. We thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Andy Lyman is a reporter for nnpoliticalreport.com. We're also joined today by Richard Anklam, executive director at the New Mexico Tax Research Institute. And we have Lorene Mills on the line. Lorene is host of Report from Santa Fe, which airs on public TV stations around the state. This is the KUNM call-in show. There's still time to call in and make your comment about the special legislative session and the state budget. The number is 277-9980 just for today. Again, that's 277-9980.
Support provided by Power Ford on Montaño, new and pre-owned vehicles, service center, and Quick Lane Tire and Preventive Maintenance Centers on Montaño west of I-25 Northeast, Bridge Street in the South Valley, and at PowerFordNM.com.
Want to give KUNM a great 50th anniversary present? How about donating your old car or truck? October is our anniversary month, so if you call now, it will be towed and sold, and we will get the proceeds before October ends. You will get a tax deduction and a KUNM membership, which entitles you to many benefits, including free admission to the Social Justice Fair. It takes just one call to 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227.
Verve Gallery hosts a public reception on Friday, October 7th for new gallery artists Luviera and Vanessa, along with Thomas Kellner at 219 East Marcy Street, Santa Fe. Verve Gallery is a proud supporter of public radio.
This is the KUNM call-in show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Thanks to everyone who's been calling in so far with their comments and ideas about how to address a state budget deficit. Email comment from Mark. He says supporting the death penalty is to be blind to the evidence of errors when innocent people are put to death. He says terrorists and drug lords don't care, and the real solution is to have a statewide refuge for children who are in danger. And here's a Twitter comment from Jim. He says the state should raise state agency fees on drilling, plumbing wells, hunting, etc. He says that would bring us in line with neighboring states. Another email comment from Barbara. She said she'd like to see a 2-cent tax increase on gasoline. It's cheap, she says, and we need the money. She says she thinks that if the Martinez administration wasn't so afraid of a tax implementing, she says we need the money. Can't read the rest of that. Adriana in Albuquerque has a comment about the state budget. Adriana, what would you like to share with us?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Yeah, as I mentioned, I'm a distinguished graduate of the UNM Community and Regional Planning Program, which I think is a very effective program for New Mexico, looking at our strengths and our history and our culture and our resources, engaging development that is aligned with our principles of preserving the land and protecting the earth and working as a community and having power and influence be from the bottom up. With that said, I think New Mexico, we have a lot of untapped potential, and I think one of the primary overarching things that we could begin doing more assertively is having a mass voting mobilization so we can change the leadership, we can improve the agendas, because although there are a lot of representatives who I respect, I think the culture around that is very a little too comfortable with the way that things have been and unwilling to change them, even if it means becoming a little unpopular and just doing the right thing. So as far as the strategy that I think, a lot of people already mentioned some of these elements, but I think just to summarize all together how I think it could work together, because, you know, when we have these things in isolation occurring, they make an impact, but not as much as when we compound them and create a synergistic effect. One of them would be, like, I think new taxes, for example, would apply. And I know taxes are unpopular, but we need to start taxing the right people, like the dirty energy industry with all the waste, like a waste tax. Like on that methane that's wasted near Farmington, that's actual revenue that we're literally burning. Okay, that's money that we need. These types of taxes, especially that are in these industries that are externalizing the cost of their environmental impact, which we end up having to pay for in public health and in environmental catastrophes, like what we saw with the waste, the mining waste that contaminated the Animas River and all those communities. Another strategy point in the strategy is looking at alternative economic development, like low environmental impact and high return. And we have the potential for that. Our agriculture, a lot of people have mentioned, either with cannabis, with hemp, and even just organic food products. The markets for organic are tremendous. There is technology to help us sustain agriculture in New Mexico. We have the ancient acequias. We have the people's traditional knowledge that is old-fashioned, but it's also very effective because it doesn't rely on so much industrial input. There are also technologies like that dry water that can help us. It's a powder, and when you add a little water, it lives for a very long time.
Adriana, thank you so much. I know you have a lot of things that you... I know you have a lot of things you want to share, but we do have full lines right now of other callers who want to get on and share their thoughts as well. Thank you so much for calling in. We have James in Albuquerque. James, your comment on marijuana, that's come up with a couple people today.
Sorry, did you cut me off?
James in Albuquerque, what's your comment?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes, James, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, my comment is that I think it's obvious that, you know, looking at what's going on in Colorado and the revenues that they've brought in, and now, you know, nine other states are voting, have voted in the last, I believe, are voting this. Hello?
James, go ahead.
Okay, I'm just saying that nine other states have voted Canada's legalizing marijuana in 2017, and it's just, I think it's almost puritanical that New Mexico just doesn't go ahead and legalize it. It would bring in such revenues. We're such a poor state. If there was a vote recently, the governor vetoed or stopped a vote that would have let the people in New Mexico vote if they did want it to be recreational. And I just think it's, you know, there's such a revenue there. They have estimated it would create something like 11,000 jobs. And I just don't understand. I'm not from New Mexico originally, but I lived in California for about 10 years when the whole medical marijuana movement was happening there. And I just think it's inevitable that it's going to happen, especially with us having Colorado as our neighbor.
James, I'm going to have to cut you off there as well. We have a lot of calls. We want to get to some more by the end of this hour. We have another person who also wants to comment on legalizing marijuana. Let's bring in now Trout and Taos. Trout, briefly, your comment on legalizing marijuana. What do you want to add to what folks have already said?
Well, I think it's obvious that Governor Martinez has been in the pocket of the Koch brothers for all these years. She doesn't represent the people of New Mexico. She represents gas and oil, which may come out of Texas. And I think it's time for people to realize that unless they elect someone who has the ideas and the hearts of New Mexicans in mind, legalizing marijuana can't happen with her in office.
Thanks for your call today. Let's go now to Gabriel in Santa Fe. Gabriel, we've talked also about gas taxes today. What's your thought on that proposal?
I had a question for your guests, and my question is why the gas tax seems to be at a fixed rate relative to the cost of gasoline, when in fact the opposite would probably be a much better tax structure. If you had a tax rate on gasoline that rose as the price of gasoline went down, that would have a much better effect on the economy. When gas is cheap, we don't mind paying a few cents more to build up the reserves in the state of New Mexico and help our state economy, the state budget. But then when gas is $4 a gallon, maybe we could go back to previous or even lower levels if we'd set some money aside. And so I just wonder why this sort of what seems like a fairly obvious way to avoid these boom and bust cycles isn't discussed or considered.
That's kind of a big political question. We don't have any legislative leadership on today, but Richard Anklam can talk about the specifics of how that works.
Sure. Right now, the gasoline and the diesel tax, we call it special fuels, but it's diesel, are imposed on gallons. So it's volume-based. The caller was talking about doing a value-based, like a gross receipts tax, I think, on the ticket price of your gasoline. And that would be fine. The problem is, as some of you have noticed, because the price of oil and natural gas is so volatile, the price of gasoline is volatile. We've seen it go under $2 to over $4 in a very short periods of time. So the problem with that idea, and you can hybridize it and create special reserve funds like the caller was talking about. I'm personally not wedded to any specific approach. There are different options, but it does introduce some volatility if you do a value based versus a volume based. So that's why I think most states went with volume many years ago. And eventually electric cars will make us go to something else. But in the meantime, it's the best that we have. I wanted to mention that I got a little text message from State Auditor Keller, and he mentioned to me that the CAFR that we were talking about earlier can be viewed on his website at nmosa.org, the New Mexico Office of the State Auditor.org. And we applaud him for doing that and the work on the insurance premiums. That's going to be very interesting. There was a hearing in LFC yesterday. Apparently, a lot of insurance premiums tax isn't being paid by insurers. The number that we heard earlier that I can't remember exactly what it was. If your esteemed listener is still listening, I may get a text. But that couple hundred million dollars, I think, was over 3 or 4 years, but it was a sample of 28% of the insurers, and they didn't extrapolate it. That means that number could be much larger, as I understand it. So that's very interesting, but it's not an immediate fix. Marijuana is not an immediate fix, but it is a tax base that we're choosing not to tax currently. And right now, Colorado is putting our illegal drug dealers out of business, so they can't even pay tax at Walmart now. So, eventually something will happen in that area. But keep in mind the timing of the fiscal crisis. We're trying to pay last year's bills. We're ignoring this year, which is twice as bad as last year. And the problem probably isn't going away overnight. We have negative over $200 million in negative new money for next year. So, we need some long-term solutions. And it's probably, as Adelina, or the woman caller earlier, said, it's going to take a lot of different approaches. There's not a silver bullet.
Thank you, Richard. Let's go now to Rena in Albuquerque. Rena, what would you like to see lawmakers do to address the special the budget and the special session?
I'm wondering if it's possible to set up a gas tax that would kick in when prices go down and ease back when prices go up to provide some stability and for people and for the state. And also, when Richardson came in, we were pretty flush. Now we're not. Maybe we could roll back the tax cut for the rich. And finally, the death penalty is expensive early childhood prevention work.
Thank you, Rena. Mary in Albuquerque, what would you like to see lawmakers do in the special session?
Good morning. Oops. In the special session, I would love to see them get rid of the industry tax loophole. Long-term, invest in solar, electric, and wind energy. The death penalty is a terrible idea. I don't know anyone who supports it. And thank you very much for having this very important conversation.
Thank you for calling in today. We also have Antoinette Cedillo-Lopez on the line. She's executive director of Enlace Comunitario. Antoinette, you work with vulnerable families in New Mexico on issues around domestic violence and poverty. As a nonprofit leader, what are you going to be watching in the special session?
Well, I'm just going to be really hoping and advocating that they don't make cuts to the CYFD budget and the CLS budget, the Civil Legal Services budget. This is really about the safety of families, victims, and children in violent homes. And if those are cut, the services for these families, which includes legal assistance in getting the restraining orders, the divorces, the child support, child custody, as well as their just services needed to get out of the situation, it's going to be devastating. And the problem with cutting here is it's going to cost more in the long run. So that's what I'm going to be looking for. I was really intrigued by all of the creative approaches to raising revenue, and that's what I think we really need to do is raise revenue, because if we don't, we're going to be in a really bad downward spiral in the state.
There's some talk about 5% across-the-board cuts in state government. Would that impact programs that serve the folks that you work with?
Well, 5% is pretty significant. It could mean cutting hours, cutting staff members. It's bad to think about that. It's not easy, particularly when you're talking about 5%
for the rest of the fiscal year, it's not easy to find any kind of fat in budgets to cut that way. So it is a concern.
Absolutely. Antoinette, thanks for taking a few minutes to call in today.
Thank you.
Richard, lots of folks have mentioned things like the solar and the wind industry, alternative energy. I also hear people saying, you know, even if we started growing that in New Mexico today, we wouldn't see the tax benefits, the financial benefits for years down the line. What do you know about that?
Well, that's true of a lot of industries. You know, we're talking about trying to encourage solo workers, especially in rural areas and this and that, attract manufacturers. All of that is a very slow slog. You know, we're stuck with the economy that we have and what's in it for today. But we should always keep our eyes open to the future. The solar sector, wind energy, the green energy is great. But kind of like the data center down south, when they're fully operational, you know, we make more money during the construction phase than we do operations because they don't maintain high levels of full-time employment. So it's not a panacea. But it's part of a portfolio of things that we should be working on. We do have to eventually divorce ourselves from oil and gas, but right now it's our only tax base. It's actually paying the bills. And you know, our federal sector is flat. Our healthcare sector, which we don't really tax, was booming, but now it's flattening, and we're not fully funding, you know, some of those areas. So it's tough.
And how do we compare to other states in the West? Other states are dealing with some of these oil and gas issues as well.
Yes, all of the oil and gas producing states are dealing with these issues. Oklahoma had a special session. Shockingly, they raised taxes, they cut spending, and they put in a mechanism to try to keep this from happening again. North Dakota is in the worst shape. They were by far the biggest boom state, and now they're the biggest bust state. So they've got some serious issues. They had a defunct special session that didn't go as well. Wyoming's struggling a little bit. So all the producing states. Texas, not so much, because their economy now has balanced somewhat, and they had pretty healthy reserves. But all of us that produce, even California, are feeling the pain.
One thing folks didn't mention in the callers that we had today, but I've heard other folks talking about, is alcohol taxes, increasing the alcohol taxes as one way to both bring in some money to the state and address abuse, alcohol abuse and drunk driving. Mm-hmm. Would that bring in enough money to make a real impact in the state?
It depends how much you increase the tax. You know, sin taxes are very popular. It's the only politically correct way to tax poor people. And it can reduce usage rates. And I'm not an expert in this area. I'm just talking topically. And sometimes there's not as much political opposition. But you raise issues about fairness, respect, especially with poorer households. It's very regressive. In the case of alcohol, you know, if you're a poor family and you don't have an alcohol problem, you'll drink less. If you have a problem, you won't, and your family will suffer more. Someone like me won't be impacted because no matter what they do, I'm a middle class person. So depending on what group and faction you want to target, there's no tax that you can't raise. You know, there really isn't. There are a couple because of laws and constraints. But we can raise the personal income tax. We can raise the liquor tax. We can raise the tobacco tax. Pick someone you don't like. We can't raise the gaming excise tax because that has tribal compacts associated with it. But everything is really on the table.
All right. Lorene Mills, I want to bring in just very, very briefly. What do you think lawmakers need to do in order to work together in this special session?
Oh, my, that's a hard one. I let's just wait and see what they do. I just want to take a minute to thank the callers, because an active, engaged citizenry is the keystone of democracy. I want to thank Andy and Richard for their expertise and for your grace as a hostess. So thank you.
Thank you, Lorene. The conversation doesn't have to end here. You can keep engaging with us on these issues. We're going to be covering the special session and looking forward to the regular session in January. Find KUNM News on Twitter or go to the KUNM call-in show at KUNM.org. I'm Sarah Gustavus. I'm also the producer of New Mexico in Focus on New Mexico PBS. Marino Spencer was the engineer today. Anna Landy Scringer calls. Sarah Trujillo live tweeted the show, and Elaine Baumgartel is the executive producer. Next week, we are going to take a look at how local breweries and distilleries are affecting New Mexico's culture and economy. That's next Thursday morning at 8 here on 89.9 KUNM. Have a great day.